So today was supposed to be sort of a one-off Sunday that I would speak in between the last series that we were doing and the new one that we're going to start next week. I told you last week that our panel discussion was the conclusion of our Way of Peace series. Well, I lied. As I was sitting on the stage last week and listening to the shared wisdom and experience of our panelists, I couldn't help but thinking how important being in a healthy community is to our own peace. And most of the emphasis in the series has been on how we find peace through our vertical relationship with God. We've discussed his nature and his heart and many of his attributes that all cause us to find peace in him. And we've been on this journey to learn the way of peace that Paul declared was available in every circumstance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. The way of peace is a vertical journey walked with God, but it's also a horizontal journey in that it is walked together with others. In fact, the way of peace is best not walked alone. And God often gives us his peace, and he often reveals himself to us through our relationships. And so to talk about the peace of God but not emphasize the role of community in it seems to me to leave this series lacking a vital component. When I look back over my own life, I can see over and over where God used the wisdom and the strength of someone else to release peace into my own soul. And I see many people who try and walk the journey of faith disconnected and on their own. But I don't believe that was ever God's design. We've been talking about how we have an enemy, the devil, who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And one of the things that I believe the enemy wants to steal from us is our peace. And one of his main tactics to do that, I believe, is to try and isolate us from the very relationships that we need. I said earlier in the series that a Sunday morning faith is not enough to get us through the biggest storms in life. And one of the reasons is that this kind of surface level faith never allows us to form the deep kind of strength-giving relationships that we need. It also keeps us from truly being a source of strength to anyone else as well. And so today I just want to conclude the series by giving you three reasons why I believe that being in a healthy community is a key to living with peace. The first one is this: healthy community gives us the courage to go and do. The courage to go and do. In our church, one of the things we talk about all the time is living your call. It's the slogan on our wall. We're emphatic in our belief that God has a unique plan and a purpose for every life that he wants you to walk in. That's your calling. Sometimes that calling can be more grandiose in scale and that it impacts hundreds or thousands. Sometimes it's as simple as responding to that little nudge that the Holy Spirit gives you to minister to that one that is hidden from the eyes of everyone else but Jesus. Amazingly, sometimes it's the insignificant acts of obedience that we ultimately discover are the ones that produce the greatest fruit. But no matter whether it's something big or small, living our call always involves a battle of overcoming fear, insecurity, doubt, confusion, discouragement, many other things. And all of these things rob us of peace in our inner world. And they keep us from doing the work of God out of a place of rest. Most of us are familiar with the story of Moses and the time he received this dramatic call from God to deliver his people out of slavery from the nation of Egypt. He had a burning bush experience where he literally heard the voice of God. But Moses felt like he was such a poor speaker. And this sense of inadequacy that he had in his own abilities was crippling to him. And so he begged the Lord, "No, God, send somebody else." And in Exodus 4:14, it tells us that the Lord became angry with Moses. "All right," he said, "what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him. Put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak. I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say." I find it interesting that God was angry with Moses because of his lack of courage and his own perceived inadequacy, and it was because God was saying, "Look, Moses, I'll help you." And yet, despite this, we read that he had already anticipated Moses' response and had sent Aaron on the way. Aaron was already on the way. And the rest is history. The presence of Aaron was enough to give Moses the courage to stand up to Pharaoh and lead his people out of Egypt. Great courage doesn't always just come from within. It is often the result of others standing beside us in the moments when we feel the most weak. I said earlier that I'm off to Africa this week with Lift Evangelistic Ministries, a ministry birthed out of this church. This will be the start of our 11th year preaching the gospel in mass events. Our reach is extending into new nations. God continues to provide miraculously for us. And when I sort of look back and compare where we are now to where we started, I honestly can hardly believe what God has done. It's been an 11-year journey of watching the impossible become possible. Living this part of my calling has certainly been the most dramatic, miraculous, and terrifying thing I've ever done in my life. There have been so many moments of doubt and fear. So many times early on where I was ready to let this dream that I had die. And when I look back, there were so many separate situations where I realized that God sent me an errand at just the right time to give me the courage and to affirm and strengthen me in my calling. One of those times, some of you have heard some of these things before, others maybe this is new to you, but one of those times was shortly before I agreed to join the eldership team of Harvest City Church. I was in my early 30s. And I knew in my heart that if I accepted the invitation to join the eldership team that was given to me by the elders, that I would probably be the next pastor in the church. In those days, that was the last thing that I wanted to do. And one of the big reasons for that was that I felt like it would keep me from this dream that I had had since I was a teenager of being a crusade evangelist. To be honest, I had never felt a strong affirmation from my parents at that time in my life regarding my evangelistic call. They were always so affirming of a pastoral call in my life. And so that brought me real inner turmoil because I really valued and trusted their opinion so much. And I found myself at that point in time unable to give an answer to the eldership team of whether I would join the team because of this inner turmoil. It seemed that God was leading me into a bigger role in Harvest City Church, but what about these other things that were stirring inside of me? And to me, the two seemed incompatible with each other. I had no peace. So no, saying no didn't feel right. Saying yes didn't feel right. And my dad, truthfully, had no idea how much he was probably the biggest hindrance to my peace at that time. But God did. And so God did something amazing. He sovereignly spoke to my father. We were having a men's breakfast, I believe it was, in the multipurpose room. And my dad came up to me as I was sitting at the table and just sort of nonchalantly said, "Joel, I need to say something to you after the breakfast. God spoke to me about you this week." "Really? Well, what did he say?" And my dad told me, he said, "Twice this week I was in prayer. And I found myself praying for you. And I felt like the Holy Spirit just told me so clearly, tell Joel, do not give up on your evangelistic dream." I burst into tears. I know that surprises you. Because you see, my dad had no idea how significant it was for me to hear those words from him. Anyone else speaking those words, it would not have had the same level of impact. But now to have my dad so boldly telling me to hold on to this call was literally life-changing for me. I remember saying to him, "Well, how can I join the eldership team then? You're telling me to hang on to this call, but if I join the eldership team, we both know I'm going to be the next pastor of Harvest City Church. So how could I be an evangelist?" This was, being the next pastor was never something that had been verbally talked about. My dad looked at me a little shocked by my statement, but then said, "You're right. You probably will be. And I believe that God has called you to pastor this church." But he told me clearly, "God told me to tell you, do not give up on your dream. So I have to believe he will make a way for you to do both." I said, "Okay, then I'll join the team." When I think back, you know, that was probably 13 years ago. 17 years ago, I was a phys ed teacher, not so good at math. When I think back to that little conversation in the multipurpose room, I think that was probably one of the most significant conversations that my dad and I ever had. Because it actually set the course of where I was to go with my life. God sent me an errand at just the right time, and his name was Dave. A conversation with a Ukrainian man named Anatoly on our second trip to Uganda was another one of those conversations. He was the one who first suggested to me over breakfast in a Ugandan hotel that we needed to start a ministry, hire a crusade director, and start raising money. I didn't realize he was looking for a job. But he was the one who convinced me we needed to do it and that it was possible. I had brought Anatoly along just as a keyboard player in the band. I didn't really know him at that time other than that I knew he was a great keyboard player. I had no idea of the kind of partnership that we would form from that moment on. His sense of adventure, his willingness to go anywhere, do anything, his deep sense of faith has been catalytic in my own life. He's been another Aaron in my life. Given me the courage to take risks and to go to countries and do things I never would do on my own. A conversation with a first-time visitor in the foyer in our church, probably around that time, 10 years ago, was another such moment. We were needing to raise $20,000, the first significant amount for Lyft, and it seemed to me like an insurmountable mountain. How on earth would we come up with $20,000? I learned in the conversation that this visitor was a businessman, and we were going to be doing a business event along with a crusade in Uganda. And so because I had a good first impression, I asked him, because you're a businessman, do you want to come with us to Uganda? I'm going to Uganda in a couple months. Do you want to come? I didn't even know him yet, so I'm not even sure why I invited him. That's not something I would normally do. But I had just such a sense of connection. He asked for a few days to think about it. On Thursday of that week, I was having a phone call with my friend Jeff from this church, and I was just pouring out my fears to him and saying, Jeff, I've booked plane tickets and all these things. We got this event going underway. It's already booked, but we don't have the money. Where am I going to come up with $20,000? Jeff was trying to encourage me. And the next morning, I get a phone call. It's from the businessman I had met in the foyer. He's calling to tell me that he looked at his schedule and feels like he can't make it on the trip. Okay, no problem. But then he says, but Joel, I want to make a donation. He said, I'm going to give you $10,000 towards the trip. I almost fell off my chair. In the office, I was so excited. This was new to me, and I was so excited. I said, you have no idea how incredible this is. Just last night, I was on the phone with my friend Jeff, and I was saying, how on earth am I going to come up with $20,000? And the next morning, one phone call, and we already have $10,000. And he says, oh, you need $20,000? Well, then I'll just write you a check for $20,000. A guy I had met only once in my life in the foyer 5 days earlier wrote us the first significant check that Lyft ever received. Aaron was already on the way. I love these stories. I could tell you many more, but the point is this. Whether it has been a text, a time of prayer, a donation, a prophetic word, etc., my courage to act and my confidence to step forward in God has been significantly impacted by literally hundreds of individuals in my lifetime. You as a church have given me more confidence and courage than you will ever know. Your support and strength have lifted me to heights I never would have reached on my own. That is why community is so important. We marvel in Scripture at the courage of the Apostle Paul to face the opposition he did and speak with the kind of boldness he spoke from with. But where did it come from? I think a significant part of it came from the incident we read about in Acts 13. We have a group of leaders in the church in Antioch who are worshiping, they're praying together, they're fasting. We know from the description that it was a diverse group of people. But they were walking in real community with one another, even though they came from all sorts of different backgrounds and cultures. And we're told that one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and they sent them on their way. I believe that Barnabas and Saul went forward with boldness and courage because they had been affirmed and prayed over and sent by a community of believers. They went with the weight of the Antioch church behind them. And it gave them the courage and the strength to go and do. Healthy community gives us that kind of courage. Number two, healthy community gives us the strength to endure. I think this point is closely related to the last one, but sometimes the courage to start the thing, but the strength to endure is another thing. And strong community is needed for both. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 4, Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. In this passage, Solomon is emphasizing the strength that is found in numbers. When we are alone, we are vulnerable to every kind of attack and discouragement. There is a warmth or a fire that is ignited and sustained by relationship with one another. Solomon also wrote in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. You know, this past week, I had the privilege of praying with some friends of mine over a stressful situation where they're needing a breakthrough. And afterwards, I received this text, just a simple text. Thanks so much, Joel. Appreciate not having to fight alone. Oh, I know exactly what they're feeling. In some of the battles I've fought in my own life, the peace that comes from knowing I have others fighting with me has been a key in finding the strength to endure. In a previous message, I talked about how we find peace in surrender. Often we're carrying burdens that are just too big for us to carry, and they're killing us. Tanya talked about that in her prophetic word this morning. And the peace comes when we lay those burdens at the feet of Jesus. He's the one who said to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest," or peace. When we trust the things that are too big for us into the hands of God, we find rest for our souls. But there's another scripture that talks about burdens. In Galatians 6:2, Paul writes, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And so here again, we see these two principles at work. We find rest in bringing our burdens to God. That's our vertical relationship. But God has called us to also carry each other's burdens. That's our vertical, our horizontal relationships. We're exhorted to provide strength and support to others and help lift their loads. These load lifting can be done both practically and spiritually. Sometimes we can provide support in real tangible ways that just relieve some pressure. Sometimes it's through intercession before God in prayer on their behalf. But the point is, as children of God, we are called into a family of believers where we are to encourage one another and lift one another up. Life brings moments of weakness, and God designed us to endure, not in isolation, but with others who can help us stand when we're weak. There is something about being in community that gives us strength to endure through the shared faith of others as well. You know, last week, if you missed it, we had a panel on stage, and our panelists just shared with us really powerfully some personal struggles with health and loss, and through it, we saw their perseverance and we saw their faith in it all. And it was powerful. I know that it provided real encouragement and faith to you, as it did to me, as we are looking at our own journeys. Hebrews 11 in Scripture is known as the faith chapter. And it contains story after story of some of the great heroes of the faith who overcame and endured all kinds of things. And some of them saw incredible breakthrough, miracles, while others didn't experience all that they were hoping to experience, but they stayed strong through incredible opposition. And the chapter was written to inspire our own faith. And Hebrews 12:1 turns the attention towards us after giving this incredible description of these great men and women. And it says to us, therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these heroes of the faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And the exhortation here is that when we look at this great crowd of witnesses who have gone before us and overcome incredible obstacles, that we're to let it fuel us in our own race and give us strength to endure our own struggles and faith to believe for our own impossibilities. When we have healthy community, we witness the faith and the perseverance of others, and their example becomes that which fuels our own endurance. Church, being in community with one another brings us strength we never would have alone. And there is a great deal of peace that comes in knowing I'm not fighting this battle on my own. Number three, healthy community helps us with perspective and discernment. In life, we often face situations and trials that can really cloud our perspective, can really bring confusion to us. These directly impact our ability to live with peace of mind. Last week, I mentioned the Serenity Prayer, which says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes it's hard to know the difference. Sometimes it's so hard to know what are the battles that God wants me to fight and what are the battles that I need to let go of and let somebody else fight. Sometimes it's hard to know what is wisdom and what is fear. What is truth? What is a lie? What is having faith? And what is living by presumption? When I think of my own life as a leader, I can't even express to you how grateful I am for the strength of the team that I have around me. I've always had a strong team around me, and I need it. There is so much peace in knowing that everything doesn't rise and fall on my own shoulders. Not every battle that is to be fought in Harvest City Church is my battle to fight. Not every problem is mine to solve. Now, I need to be reminded of that regularly. And the times when I have gotten really overwhelmed in my life are the times when I've lost perspective on some of these things. Sometimes our heart is in the right place, but our capacity is not as great as our compassion. It's in times like these where the perspective and the wisdom of someone else can actually help us find our way. I was reading recently where David was fighting a battle against the Philistines and came against a giant. Most of us know the story of when David fought the Philistine giant Goliath, who was taunting Israel and who taunted David and told him, I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. And what a great victory David achieved over him. I think we would all agree that this battle against the giant Goliath was a battle that God had clearly called and anointed David to fight and to win. But what is a lesser known story is a time when David faced another Philistine giant who was taunting him. In 2 Samuel 21, we're told the story. Says in verse 15, once again, there was a battle. This is years later. There was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, these are giants, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels. I don't know how much that weighs, but it sounds like a lot. Who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. He's saying, I'm going to get that guy. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, never again will you go out with us to battle so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished. How interesting. It's clear that this was a battle that David was not to fight. But this was a battle that someone else was called to engage in. David was such a warrior that he was blind to his own condition. He didn't realize how weak he was. There's giants to be fought. I'm the leader. I'll fight them. Maybe there was even some pride in him that he would just do what he'd always done. But he needed to step aside. He wasn't in the right space, condition, shape to take on the giant that was in front of him. Sometimes when we think we must be the savior for everyone, we try and fight every battle in front of us. My dad has told me from time to time, Joel, not every fight is yours. Sometimes I have to realize I can't reach every person. Sometimes I have to realize, you know what? I'm not the best pastor for this person. That's humbling. It's hard to know whether it's a time when I need to push through sometimes in my life and have courage and perseverance, or is this a time when I need to step aside? What's the lie? What's the truth? What's wisdom? What's fear? I have found tremendous peace in trusting in the multitude of counsel around me. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. When we are in community, we benefit from the wisdom, the experiences, and the spiritual insight and discernment of others. This helps us see beyond our own limited viewpoints. It helps us discern the will of God more clearly. God often speaks to us through those around us. He uses community to guide, correct, and confirm what is true. Discernment, I've discovered, is rarely a solo act. So as I conclude the series today, and this time for real, my encouragement to us as a church and to you as individuals is to make being a part of a healthy community a top priority. I want to encourage you to let your roots grow down deep in relationships. I want to encourage you to think beyond yourself. Yes, you need healthy community for your own well-being, but that's only one side of the coin. We are called to carry each other's burdens. It's a command. It's part of being a part of the kingdom of God. You help me carry my burdens, I'll help you carry yours. It's the way of the kingdom of God. I believe it's the way of peace. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for so many wonderful people in this room. Lord, I love the community of Harvest City Church because I have experienced a great deal of what I'm talking about this morning. Lord, I pray for people that are new to our church, new to the city, new to the country even. Lord, I pray that they would find that kind of community that I'm talking about here today. Lord, I'm praying for those that have been in this church for a long time, but still feeling like, you know, I'm on the outside. I pray, oh God, that you would bring healthy relationships into their lives. God, I pray that if there are some steps that we need to take as individuals to get away from the isolation we're experiencing or feeling, that you would give us the courage to do so. Lord, I know that some of us are on the outside because that's where we've placed ourselves. And we need to have some courage, and we need to get vulnerable and real, and we need to take some steps to trust, and we need to shift some priorities. And God, I pray that you would help us to do that. Lord, I thank you for all our life group leaders that are facilitating community in our church. I pray that you would raise up more. God, I pray that you would grow those groups within our church. God, I pray today that you would, I pray that you would just bring us some real friends. Lord, there was one of the most powerful prayers I prayed to God one day was, Lord, I'm so lonely, I need some friends. I knew so many people and realized I didn't have a brother. And God, you are faithful to bring me some brothers who've held my hands, laughed with me, cried with me, encouraged me, rebuked me. Lord, I pray for each one in the room this morning, you'd bring them a brother and a sister. God, I pray today for those that are in the room today feeling weary, confused, and turmoil, and discouraged. Holy Spirit, I just want to lift them up to you and be a burden bearer before you this morning on their behalf. God, would you lift the load off of them today? Would you speak your peace into them today in Jesus' name? Lord, would you send some errands to help in Jesus' name? Lord, today we tune our ears towards you and say, God, are you wanting to send me as an errand in somebody's life? Oh God, if I'm the answer to somebody's prayer, Lord, would you give me the ears to hear? Lord, would you open my eyes to see the needs around me, to see where you have divinely positioned me to bring peace and lift a burden off of a brother or a sister? God, we want to be the kind of community that you've called us to be. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, bless you, church. Pray for us. If you want to, on Wednesday, on our Wednesday night prayer at 7, we're going to spend the whole time praying for the Lift mission, our team. If you want to come and support us in that, we'd love to have you praying with us. But have a great summer. I'll be tuning in online. See you in a few weeks. Yes.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.